Samantha and I want to talk about food. Sensei, what should everyone know about etiquette?
Japanese people really honor food and having a meal with someone, and there's some rules. The most important is the chopstick rules. So number one, never stick your chopsticks in your rice, especially straight up, because it's how Japanese people put rice on an altar to honor their ancestors or people who have passed away. Another thing is that you can never pass food from person to person with chopsticks, and that also has something to do with a death ritual. The last one that I can think of is don't point to people with your chopsticks.
I gesture when I know I would be talking and I would be waving the chopsticks around.
Yeah, I was lucky my host family was really strict and they taught me a lot of rules, and it was like, you have to do it. So I just learned.
This is very different from Korean culture, which is my culture. But in Japan, you hold up your bowl of rice. You do the same with soup.
Yeah, you don't even use a spoon. You just drink from the bowl like it's a really big cup in Japan. You probably had some nice culture shock watching all of these Japanese hold the bowl of rice up to their mouth and like shovel in. I know you're not supposed to shovel in, but I guarantee you probably 80% of people, that's how they eat their rice in Japan.
Especially guys.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I've done it. I've done it a few times. Yeah. It's hard sometimes to get the last pieces of rice with your chopsticks.
That's another thing. You have to eat every single grain of rice in your rice bowl. And if you don't, there's some number of gods attached to every grain of rice, so you can never waste it. And you're supposed to be honoring the farmers.
Eating school meals? That was really hard. Sometimes the portions were really big. They gave you a lot of rice and soup and then side dishes and sometimes even a fish. My students only got 30 minutes to eat all of that.
Oh, wow.
That's when I shoveled.
Yes. And isn't there a rule in elementary school? This is how it was for my daughter's school. That you have to eat every single thing that you are given. Students serve you. So you could ask the student like, hey, don't give me so much of that. But
that's true.
My daughter, she wasn't allowed to go to recess until she ate every single bite of food. So she would just sit there and sit there and sit there.
Aww. We forgot an important one. Before you even start eating, you usually hold the chopsticks in your hand and say, itadakimasu.
Hi, itadakimasu. Yeah. Thank you for this meal.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. During school lunches, everyone would say that all together. There would be like a ritual chant, like, se no, itadakimasu. And then we would start
itadakimasu. Yep. Saying itadakimasu is I'm about to eat this food, and just telling the person that made the meal for you, you're just honoring them and thanking them and telling them that you're about to eat your food. Mm-hmm. And then at the end too, after you've eaten everything, you say another phrase. You want to say it together?
Se
no. Gochisousama deshita.
A lot of our students also wanted to know how to be an expert restaurant eater.
Yeah, when I first went to Japan, it was so hard because I didn't know what some Japanese foods were called and I didn't know what I liked. Yeah, so I would just point to the menu and say, kore kudasai, or onegai shimasu, and basically just saying, this please. It worked.
When I first went, usually I would try to go in groups so the better Japanese speakers could help me out and give me recommendations, but there is a way you can ask, and that's, osusume wa nan desu ka? What's your recommendation?
So especially if you go to a restaurant and there's no pictures, no sample food items in the front, asking for the recommendation is a great idea.
Yeah. You were talking about the
plastic foods, 食品 sample.
I had a few times when I would point to those actual plastic things and be like, this one. And then they would say it. And then I would go inside, they'd show me to my table and ta-da, out came the food. And it always looked exactly like the sample, which is so nice.
I don't know how they get all the little details in that plastic sample.
Right?
Looks delicious.
Yeah. And it's like a, according to Business Insider, it is like a $90 million industry in Japan. Almost every restaurant, especially in tourist areas, have the sample food.
I liked the ones where the chopsticks would be levitate. It looked like it was levitating.
Yeah. At ramen shops, udon shops. Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever been on date at restaurants?
I just met my ex-husband a few months after I'd gone there. So I guess if we went on dates, but yeah, we would go to every restaurant because it's so much fun to try new restaurants on dates. But I think going to like cafes or even like a cute little like pasta restaurant is really nice. The food looks nice. The atmosphere is really cool and trendy. Yeah. If you aren't really sure about the person you're with, you can just get a drink and be done really quick versus if you like grab a quick coffee. How about you? What would you recommend for a date spot?
I also loved cafes in Japan. They had these tiny portions of cake so you can look delicate. And I remember a lot of Japanese teens go on dates at McDonald's. They're a lot fancier in Japan.
You know what? This is not a good date spot, but I loved Japanese buffets.
Yeah! Oh, I forgot about those.
But I think I did see some couples at this dessert buffet that I went to. It was called Sweets Paradise. Sweets Paradise. You are given like 90 minutes to just eat all you can. And I did. They had fountains of chocolate, all these different types of cake, regular lunch and dinner food like pasta.
I love too that they're called Viking, which sounds like Viking. But when we go to Japan through Explorica, we always go to Viking because everybody likes different things, and that's the easiest way to make sure everybody can eat at least something they like. We went to one of those dessert Vikings too, and it was amazing. They had Japanese desserts, Western desserts, and yeah, they had a matcha fountain. So you could dip in matcha. Oh my gosh. Now that's all I want to eat.
Yeah. Japanese restaurants, they have great service and great quality of food. When you were talking, I remembered there was this restaurant where you can deep fry anything you want at your table.
Kushikatsu.
Yeah.
That's like the same one. It was a Kushikatsu dessert Viking. It was so good.
Oh my gosh. So yeah.
Everything and anything, as long as you want, with or without the batter, but you only have 90 minutes.
Right. Yeah, you better
fast and know what you're doing.
You gotta have an eating plan, an eating game plan. Yeah. I fried so many things in that personal deep fryer.
Right.
Barely had to get up. Oh.
Right.
It was
octopus, chicken, beef, eggs, cheese, mochi.
Lots of vegetables too.
Vegetables. Yeah. That reminds me too. My maybe favorite thing about Japanese restaurants is that waiters only come to you when you push the little button. I call it the ping pong. And as soon as you push it, give it like 3 seconds and somebody is there and they ask, how may I help you? Versus in the US, they're always at your table, which is so nice. I forgot how nice it was being in Japan and only having the wait staff come to you when you push the button.
Yeah, they usually sat you and then they'd leave you alone until you press the button. And then I would
order that. Yes, so nice.
Would you say there's restaurant small talk?
I feel like people always were asking me, do you like this? Is this delicious? So I was constantly like every bite saying, oh, oishii ne. Ah, kono aji omoshiroi desu ne. Like always commenting on the food. But I feel like it's a Japanese cultural thing too, because when you watch TV and they're like promoting restaurants, people always like take a bite and are like, wow, oishii. And then explain, like, it's spicy. It's a little bit sour. It's really crunchy. Like, yeah, I feel like I became really good at describing food living in Japan.
There are a lot of TV shows where you just watch people eat.
Yes. And then watch the other people react to that person's reaction to the food they're eating.
They really like to introduce restaurants that way and promote restaurants that way. So two things. One is be prepared to be complimented on your ohashi skills, your chopstick skills.
Japanese people don't realize that we do use chopsticks in the US, Australia, the UK.
Such a weird word in English, but I would love whenever my Japanese host mom, she would change out the ohashi wa, the chopstick holder. So like depending on the season, it will be like a tiny ceramic, usually vegetable, or like the next season, it will be a tiny ceramic fruit that you would rest your chopsticks on. Those are just so delicate and cute.
That's so sweet. I haven't thought about those in forever.
Yeah.
I only have one set.
Of holders?
Yeah.
Ooh, fancy. I had zero.
That actually is becoming really trendy. I've noticed the last two times that I went to Japan, there's souvenir shops for the chopsticks holders. And you can go in and yeah, like you said, you can get anything. You can get cats, dogs, cherry blossoms. Mm-hmm. And they're really good souvenirs because they're really tiny and you can fit a lot of them. They're usually pretty affordable. I mean, you can get really expensive ones, but they're usually like something really Japanese and people can use them as little decorations. They don't have to use them for their chopsticks.
I had really good experiences with restaurant owners remembering me even after going once.
Yeah, I still have a friend in Osaka at a takoyaki place. What? I literally went there when I was 20 and then I went back recently and he still remembered me.
He's like,
oh, Mishi from America, Washington State football. Yeah. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah, it's amazing. He's not the exception.
Right.
A lot of cafe, restaurant, chefs, and owners have these amazing memories and so kind, so generous.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's something I miss about Japanese shops and restaurants is like people really put their heart into their shops, whether it's a chain or if it's their own like family run shop. They really give it 100% and they put a lot of love and effort into everything they do, greeting the customers, preparing the food, placing the food in front of someone, asking how it is. From the moment you walk in to the moment you leave, you are just so honored as a guest.
They would also walk me out the door.
That's awesome. The door
behind me. Do you want to shout out what restaurant servers say when you come in?
My sister hated this because I took her to Ichimaru Q in Shibuya, which is a huge shopping center. It's the same as restaurants. So as soon as you come in, you hear, "いらっしゃいませ." Dozo. Yeah. One person says it, then the next person will say it. So let's practice. Ready? いらっしゃいませ.
いらっしゃいませ.
Oh, いらっしゃいませ.
Dozo.
そうだ。
何名様ですか？一人で。
いらっしゃい。はい、どうぞ。
It's also really interesting to go to restaurants in different parts of Japan because they'll greet you in different dialects.
In Hiroshima, where they say okini.
Yes, I was going to say that.
A different intonation in their okini.
I never felt cool enough to say okini instead of arigato gozaimasu. I was like, I'll just stick with standard Japanese. Like, yeah.
I think people would just think, oh, a foreigner, if I said that because I was in Kansai. I think I always had to say okini. I don't know if I really said arigato. Because then I would sound like I'm from the east side, Kanto, standard Japan. But I was from the west side.
Oh, Kansai, I love Kansai.